David and Miss Carol get the power yet? Sister Barbara? You're not sure yet? Be in prayer for them that are down and still without power. It is kind of a necessity nowadays. More than we want to say so, it is. Something that we've grown used to, but we can do without it if we have to, I'm sure, but it makes things a little bit more easier. You know, trying even to fix things and repair things. We're so used to using tools that are of electric nature. Brother Chase asked me the other day, he said, "We don't have a handsaw over here somewhere?" "What do you mean, a handsaw? We got no hand. We got skill saws, power on it." He said, "I just got to cut one piece of wood and it's going just that." That's, you know, that's how we are. We got to have power. So I found him one. Over there in the rack. If he wants to work it, that's fine. And on that note, Brother Carl, will you be able to make it Tuesday at this point? Okay, Brother Carl's going to make it Tuesday. If there is a gentleman or a couple of gentlemen would like to help print tomorrow, we're kind of, the hurricane kind of puts us a little bit behind on this Creole printing project, so we're going to try to print tomorrow and Tuesday. So don't change, Brother Carl. We don't want to wear you out. We're going to try to do them both. So if somebody could make it tomorrow, a couple men tomorrow, be able to help me and Brother Chase, that would be a blessing. Just let me know after church so we'll know how to plan there. Don't forget to see Brother Paul or Miss Ashley about the spaghetti dinners. Now, he is selling them for $7 a donation. If you want to give 20 to me, I'll pass it on to him. So go middleman or straight to him. Doesn't matter. He's got it for $7. Now, it's for our Honduras trip, and it will be used for a good reason, good purpose. We're going down there to help Brother Hector and the churches down there and Brother Chase. So if you would like a spaghetti dinner next week, it's to go. And it needs to be paid for by Wednesday night. Now, if you can pay for it tonight, that would be great. But he's up to Wednesday night, and then we'll be able to purchase all things. And Soldier of the Cross was moved. It was supposed to be last Friday, but, you know, the hurricane came through, and so they moved it to this Friday. So if you're able to go to that, please sign up so Brother Scott can keep track of you with that on there. All right, Mark chapter 12. And verse number 35. Mark chapter 12 and verse number 35. Also, ladies, if you're going on the ladies' retreat, you need tonight is the deadline on your deposits. You've got to have it. They're asking at the other church how many's coming. We got to let them know in the morning. So if you're going and have not paid your deposit, please get that into Miss Kim. All right, Mark 12:35. Here we go. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, "How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool.' David therefore himself calleth him Lord. Whence is he then his son?" And the common people heard him gladly. And he said unto them in his doctrine, "Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation." Verse 41, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast into their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living.'" Last Wednesday night, of course, last Sunday night, we were not in the book of Mark. It's the hurricane. But coming prior to that, we got up to this point, and this chapter has been full of questions, question after question after question. They have come about, and they ask questions. And if you notice there in the last, in verse 34, after last 2 weeks ago, Sunday night, this is the last verse we finished with. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, talking about the scribe, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And listen to what it says. And no man after that durst ask him questions. They were done with the question, but Jesus had heard them prior talking and asking questions about this. And so Jesus, as he sit teaching in the temple again, in verse number 35, as he's there, he brought up a question that they had asked. This question was, "How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David?" Well, he was in the flesh. If you hold your place there and look over in Matthew chapter 1 in the flesh, now, you understand, Jesus was 100% man, 100% God. But in the flesh, the scriptures make it very plain and clear. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. "The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." So he begins to lay out the lineage there of David, of Christ, and so forth. If you go to Matthew 22, Matthew chapter 22, looking there. Now understand something, that the Holy Ghost of God was the one that caused the conception. It was not Joseph, but the human eye, the human flesh, and the human lineage on Joseph's side. There it would have been. Now, Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 42. Matthew 22 and verse 42. The Bible says, "Saying, what think ye of Christ?" Now, they're asking a question there. Jesus asked him, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is it he is his son?" And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day from forth ask him any more questions. Now, from an eternal spiritual standpoint, he was David's Lord. He is Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings. But the question we're seeing here is a question that has to be answered even today. I can honestly tell you this. If you are wrong on who Jesus is, you're wrong on your salvation. And this is the point here. This is where we're at. You remember the other question? You're close to eternal, to the kingdom of God. You remember last 2 weeks ago, he looked at him. You're close to the kingdom of God. And so Jesus was getting clarity. He wanted them to understand who he was and what he was and what he was about. And look over in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. There's so many people throughout society, even today, that have a wrong conclusion of exactly who Jesus is. And so we need to have that answer readily and available for ourselves. We need to know for a certainty. John chapter 7, verse 40, the Bible says, "Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet." This is the prophet. Then verse 41, "Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee?" Isn't it amazing that they had understanding of Scripture? There's a lot of people have understanding of Scripture. The Bible says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them they testify of me." And so they have some understanding of Scripture, but understanding the Bible itself is a spiritual book, and it has to be understood by the unction and power of the Holy Spirit of God. There's a difference in head knowledge and heart knowledge. A great difference in head knowledge and heart knowledge. And you see here, the question is presented again. And Jesus said, who is, what do you think about Christ? And some of them said, he is. And that's how it works. There's some, I mean, you can have a crowd right here in this size. And some of you, when you talk about something and you explain it and go through it, you will have a good, clear understanding. Others will have questions. But how can he be Christ? How can he be the Messiah? How could he? He's from Galilee. But was he? They forgot about the taxation. They forgot about Caesar Augustus saying, "Hey, everybody, go back to their homeland." They didn't understand that. They just knew this was a carpenter from Galilee. A lot of times when we're talking to people about Jesus and we begin to explain to them about Jesus, we have to be very clear and certain about who Jesus is, because the Bible says very plainly, some will say, here's Jesus, there's Jesus. Jesus is over there, Jesus is here. And so we got to be very clear, very plain, and understanding. And Jesus had this same situation in this day. And so he brought up this question, how is it that the scribes say that he is the son of David, and he wanted to explain them. Now, it was a miraculous birth, no doubt. Isaiah chapter 7 says that a virgin should conceive, and then Matthew chapter 1 gives us the story in verses 18 through 25, and Luke chapter 1 verses 26 through 38 gives us the story how the angel appeared both unto Joseph and unto Mary, explaining. It was something that Joseph had to come to grips with. How am I espoused to this Mary who I loved and who I cherished, and now all of a sudden she tells me she's with child? It was something that God had to reveal through the angel. And the angel appeared unto Joseph and said, listen, don't be afraid. Take Mary to be thy wife. That which is within her is conceived of the Holy Ghost of God. It is something that is different. It is something that is miraculous. It's something that was prophesied. So it had to take place like this. And so Joseph himself had to have some explaining from on high. We have to be careful when we look in through Scripture and we see the Scriptures and the Word of God. And there's sometimes some hard to be understood. I'll be honest with you. There's some scriptures that, I have done this personally myself. I've read through it and studied and tried to figure this or that out. And it just was not lining up. It was not clicking. And I had to lay it aside. And I didn't just stop studying. I just didn't stop reading. I said, Lord, I don't get this right now. So I'm going to go digging on over here and looking through here. I'm going to study on through here. And I'm going to get over here on this side. And I come back about 6-7 months later. And then all of a sudden, it's just plain as day. And I'm thinking, why didn't I see that in the beginning? There's something, God's ways is much higher than our ways. The Word of God is, it's infinite. I mean, it's beyond our understanding. Our little minds cannot comprehend everything. Sometimes we get, and I'm so thankful for our Bible. I'm thankful that I have 66 books in the King James Bible that is canonized, closed, settled, and kept, and it's there. But even the Bible, it says, the Bible says itself in John that if everything that was written that Jesus did, the books of the earth could not contain it. This is not all of who God is. It is who God. It is what God wants us to know of Him. So quit digging around deeper into between the lines and on the line, and understand this is the mind of God, the mind of Christ for us. Sometimes we go digging off in the galaxies, looking for God on the other side of the Milky Way or something. Listen, get into the Word. Get into the Word, study the Word, and let God show you. There is no contradictions. There is hard things to understand. It is. And it doesn't make you worthless or a dumb Christian to not understand every passage of the Bible. This is just not your time to understand it. And don't let nobody deceive you and say they've got it all figured out. They do not. Nobody's got it all figured out. I don't care how many PhDs and DDs and MDs and DFDs and CDs they got in their bank account. They don't got the Bible all figured out. They don't. But we can learn from others. We can learn. Matter of fact, Paul over in the book of 1 Corinthians given a lineage, and he's thanking God for all of the fellow helpers, fellow watchmen, fellow prisoners, he even calls some of them. And he comes to two people and he names them and he says, and I thank God for these two people, I forget their name, but because they've been in the Lord before me. Yet, they were sitting under Paul's teaching. Isn't that amazing? So as Jesus had a reason to bring this back up. They weren't going to ask any more questions. He has zipped and closed up their mouth. So he brought it up and he said, and by the way, the scribes. Now where do you think the scribes were? They were close by. They were within earshot. And the scribes said, this, and they said that. And then he began, and you notice the relationship with them. Back over in Mark chapter 12. The relationship that he had with them was as one that Jesus was their adversary almost. Jesus was not against them. Jesus was not one that was trying to openly run them out of business. Actually, Jesus desired that they themselves would come to repentance and know Him as their personal Lord and Savior. Can you imagine the wealth of knowledge that they had through the study of Scripture? If only they were saved and born again and the Holy Spirit of God lived in them, how much greater of a teacher or scribe they would have been. Think about Paul. Think about Paul as he was when he was Saul. Saul said, listen, as touching the law, I was Pharisee of Pharisee. Boy, when he got saved on Damascus Road, he turned his life around. He used all that wealth of knowledge and he became all things to all people that he might save some through the power of God. He said, I don't even come with you enticing words, but I come with you by the power of the Word of God through the Scriptures. And I present to you Jesus Christ, as the Scripture says, He died and was buried according to the Scripture and rose again according to the Scripture. Isn't it amazing? Every time we look through this here book of Mark, as we've studied through it, every time a question has come up, Jesus has answered that question with Scripture.
Amen.
We underestimate the power of Scripture sometimes. We underestimate the Word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Have you ever talked to somebody that was just plain out bullheaded? Yes, wives, look over there, Eddie. I'm telling you, there's some folks, listen, we can be so bullheaded, especially when we come to God with preconceived ideas of how we think it should be. We need to just say, Lord, help me set aside my thoughts because your thoughts are much higher than my ways. I mean, your ways are much higher than my ways. And he looked over there and he began to continue to teach and he brought up this question because he knew he would get the ear of those that were listening outside of the circle. And he says this. Go back to our text. Mark chapter 12. I'm over in Luke now. I don't know how I got in Luke, but I'll get back in Mark. Mark chapter 12. And you see in verse 37, and the common people heard him gladly. Someone said this to me. It actually was a college professor who said the most dangerous Christian that he's ever met is a freshman in his college year of seminary. They know everything and you can't teach them nothing. Zeal, as the Bible says, it's zeal without knowledge. You know, the Bible says there's those that are ever learning and never come to the knowledge of God. Ever learning. And listen, I'm for education. You can listen to me and think, man, he is backwards as he can be. But I'm for education. And education doesn't always mean you got to sit in the classroom. I'm for learning. Learning something that is helpful and needful. Kids, you're going back to school tomorrow. Been out of school a week. Listen, sit still, quit wiggling around, put on your listening ears and learn what those teachers have to say. You say, well, geometry will never help me down the road. You'll wait and see. It's going to come around where it will help you. Well, how does it help you? It exercises your mind. And an exercised mind absorbs more and more and more. Just sit around and don't do nothing. Don't apply yourself. Don't read. Just sit around and play PlayStation and read comic books the rest of your life. And I guarantee you, you'll come to a point where your mind is arrested. You can't learn anymore. You're just hooked up there. I don't know where we've been out there. Oh, common people. The common people heard him gladly. As he was speaking to them, there was those that were listening. And he said this out loud as he taught them. And he said unto them in his doctrine, or in his teaching, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutation in the marketplace, and the chief seats in the synagogue, and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. He's looking at them as in their religious acts. Listen, we've got to get away from a religious act and get into a relationship with Jesus. Religion is defined in many different ways. But whenever your religion and the acts of your religion is only to draw attention to you, dear friend, you are in big trouble. Because this isn't about you and I. John the Baptist, which Jesus said, there's no man born of woman that's greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist said this, he must increase and I must decrease. I must decrease. We've got to get to the point where we understand something that we're only going to be all by the grace of God. And they stood up with their long flowing gowns and wanted to sit in the best of the seats and up in the upper room in the highest place of the feast. And they wanted somebody to say, oh, there's the rabbi, there's the teacher. They wanted to be recognized when it should never be about us. When people see us, they ought to see a reflection of Christ in our lives. It should be all about Jesus. And he begins to talk to them. And listen, I said this to me, and why did he go through this? And why did these shall receive greater damnation? Because if you're wrong on Jesus, you're wrong on salvation. Look with me over in John. John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. Everybody in the world wants to grab John 3:16 and promote it. And I say promote it more. But it doesn't end there. The thought goes on. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Look over in John chapter 8, verse number 24. John chapter 8, verse number 24. John 8, verse number 24. I say therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2 and verse number 18. First John chapter 2, verse number 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And the Bible says there in the next verse, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. And I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Verse 22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist. That denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he hath the knowledge the Son hath the Father also. Okay, go back over to Mark chapter 12 and back up to our 2 week ago study in verse number 34. And Jesus saw that he answered discreetly and said to them, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Who was he talking to? The scribe that had answered discreetly. And now he's still sitting there listening, and Jesus wanted him to understand exactly who the Messiah was. This is why Jesus brought up this question, to give an absolute clear thought and clarity of the conversation of who he really was. Because Jesus is not willing that any should perish. Not even that old scribe.
Amen.
Not even that publican. Not even that religious person that pats on the chest and says, oh, my standards are much better than yours. My way of serving God is much better than yours. Even the publican who's down and out and last in line of any righteous line. Jesus died for the world. But unless we know exactly who Jesus is and we have a good, clear understanding of who he is, we're wrong and we'll be wrong and stay wrong on salvation. He said, I am the way. You find a religious group that wants to add this, add that, take away this to Jesus for salvation, you're in trouble when you hang around that. Jesus is the only way. The only way. And in the midst of all this, he gives this long warning. Jesus was a multitasker. Can you imagine this? As I read and study this, here's the common people sitting around him. Just common old folks sitting around him. The scribes and Pharisees are a little outer circle. And they're sitting over near the wall by the treasure where they're putting their offerings. So he's teaching the common people so the learned people can hear it, but he's paying attention to a widow lady. That ought to make you feel real good. He don't leave nobody out. Nobody out. I mean, he's got all that going on. He's teaching common people, trying to reach educated theologians, but he's paying attention to a little old bitty widow lady. Not only the little widow lady, but also to the wealthy. You notice the verses he reads as we go on to the next passage here. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and guess what it says? And beheld how they did what? The people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. He's even concerned about how you give. How? You know what he says to us? That we should be cheerful givers. Cheerful. Now, I believe with all my heart that he's already set down the facts of how giving should be done. It all belongs to him. The fullness of the earth is 10%. He asked me to give it back. And anything else beyond that is an offering. That you trust God. So God, what do you want me to do? You give it and be faithful to do it. But I don't believe, dear friend, that it is actually the portion that impresses him. It is, I don't even know if this is a word. Is proportion a word? What does that mean, brother? The percentage of your total. Kind of like Ananias and Sapphira, who said to God, God, you help me sell this here. You help me sell this property, and I'm going to give it all to the church. And guess what? They got a big old sale. Ooh, honey, we messed up. We messed up. Let's sit this side. Let's go take this in. And they went in, they laid it there, and guess what happened? Peter said, who's convinced you to lie to the Holy Ghost of God? See, when this thing of giving, we're lying to God if we're not being honest with you. You're not robbing the church, you're not robbing me. The Bible says in Malachi, you've robbed God in tithes and offerings. You're not fooling anybody. So Ananias laid up there and fell dead. The men, the young men carried him out, and here come his wife. Boy, she was all in on it. Said, oh, man, she got him. And how much you give? Well, we can get this much. And bang, she fell over dead. It's how? See, the portion has been set. There's no finagling around it. The portion has been set. You make $1.10, it belongs to God. You make $10, $10 belongs to God, automatically. The over and beyond that is an offering where you say, Lord, what would you have? Here it is. And so he looked there. The wealthy put in much. She put in 2 mites. Put in those 2 mites. And as she put in those 2 mites, Jesus said, she's given all. Can you imagine the mindset of the disciples and the common people sitting around? Because I'm pretty sure they're pretty amazed about some of the givings. I'm pretty sure that they was like, wow. Boy, look at that. That is something. I remember a church, and I'm about to close. We were in Mississippi at a church right outside of Picayune. And at the church, they had a table like this, a communion table, but it had a drawer. And the deacons walk up in, they pull that drawer out, and they step back, one deacon this side, one deacon on that side. And in the drawer had different slots and different things. And the people had to come up and give in front of a whole church. Deacons in this room. This deacon's in this room. And it's giving in the thing. I don't find no scriptural thing in the Bible like that. Maybe it was from that portion. They said, well, Jesus was sitting there, and they brought it up, and they gave, and he was looking. I don't know. I can say this. I don't care how you do it. If you do it here, you do it in a box in the back, you do it with a bag, they stick it down, you put your hand down in the bag, they get to a plate, it doesn't matter. Jesus sees it all. Just be honest with him. Just be honest, because he is impressed with how. Not how much. Not how much. I'm so glad that I wished, praise God, that one day our government would get on board with God's system of economy. I mean, it's pretty simple to me. You make $1 million, you still give 10%. You make $1,000, still give 10%. You make $100, still give 10%. That's how it works with God, not with the government. Lord, help us. That's a whole different story. I don't want to get off in there, so we'll be here for till May paying taxes. And we're not even at the end of the year yet. But all of these questions boil down to him closing the mouths of the religious group opening the ears to the common people and paying attention even to the least of the people. What a book. I mean, Mark has been so full. I have enjoyed the study of Mark. Next week we pick up on chapter 13 and we'll move on from there. Don't forget, if you have to sign up over here, sign up somewhere. Don't forget, if you've got choir, come to choir real quick. Don't forget, if you can help us with printing in the morning or Tuesday, let me know about that as well. And if you have a neighbor, somebody that's still without, do your best to be a help to them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening, for the studies through your word. It's been good to look through the book of Mark. God has been helpful to me. And I pray, God, you'll continue to teach us as we study through the book of Mark. Help us to be servants as your son was a great servant. What an example Jesus was to us. Lord, we ask you today that you'd help us to rest our bodies and minds tonight, that we'd rise up in the morning and be a good testimony for you throughout the whole day. Bring us back Wednesday night, Lord, safe and sound. Help us to be a proper representative and proper testimony for you throughout this week. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.